1-4-3. 1-4-3 or
yeah,
1 and
that's
2?
That's what I meant.
1-4-3. Oh, 1-4-3.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
USC, baby.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to episode number 719 of Locked On Raptors for Tuesday, May the 26th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com and Basketball. You can find that podcast, of course, at patreon.com/basketball with two H's. Please go subscribe there. Also, a note that the Locked On Podcast Network for the entire month of May, and this show included in that, is brought to you by Built Bar, which are a wonderful protein bar, the best tasting protein bar there is. BuiltBar.com for $10 off your first order. More on them a little later on. All right, on today's show, we are finally going to dive into some of the Ronan news. We've been spending most of the last 3 months diving into Raptors history, having some fun lookbacks, you know, doing weird sort of concept episodes. And I think it's probably high time that we give some time and airspace to the news that is continually coming out in little fragments and sort of, I don't know, like test balloons that the league is putting out. I'm not exactly sure why and when these things are leaking to media as they report them. But there's lots to dive into in terms of prospective plans to come and return, Disney World, 1-16 brackets, group stages apparently as of today, and Kevin O'Connor's piece for The Ringer. A million things to dive into. And so joining me today to talk about all of the return plans and their various levels of cursedness, it is our pal Vivek. Jacob, what's up, man?
Not much, man. Sun's out, able to get out and enjoy it a little bit while trying to still maintain physical distancing as much as I can. I've been able to figure out a few convenient spots for myself in this downtown core that seems to be filled with people nonstop during the day anyway. But yeah, other than that, I think, you know, I feel like the weather's helped with my mood. And yeah, the return of basketball is helping too, I think, potentially. I think we stand on different sides of this right now, which is why I think it's going to be fun to have this discussion.
It is. I'm ready to be convinced otherwise that this is a good idea and that none of these plans are, very, very just like irresponsible and terrible. I'm willing to be convinced. So we're going to dive into it today. Let's start off first with just sort of the main plan that seems to be out there. We haven't really talked about it on this podcast. I've talked about it in other spaces a million times, but on this podcast, it's a first. So Disney World seems to be the leading candidate. It seems like the only candidate right now for the bubble, for whatever the NBA season is going to look like, whether it's the end of the regular season and playoffs, whether they just go straight into the playoffs, whether it is, as we talk about later, a weird group stage with 20 teams. We'll get into that down the line. But just in terms of general feelings on Disney World, Big V, what are your thoughts on the plans? Do you have any objections? What's your thinking right now as they seem to have a bit of momentum behind this plan?
Yeah, I think I do trust the NBA from the standpoint that they've made very clear that they've been in conversations with medical experts throughout this whole process. And I don't think they would go into a situation if the risks sort of outweighed the potential reward. And I think I don't think there's any way to have a zero risk scenario until there's a vaccine. But at the same time, you know, other companies are trying to figure out ways that people can go back to work and set things up for, you know, people to go back to some kind of normalcy. And I think that's the part where I look at, and for these players too, like, they love the game of basketball. That's why they've gotten to the level that they have in their careers. And so I think for them, it is important to get out there and play and have some sort of normalcy to their lives. Mm-hmm. And then from the fan side of it, yeah, of course, fans want to see sports back. And as long as it can be done in a safe manner and you can ensure the health of everyone involved, then I think it should be considered a possibility. That's, you know, that's what Adam Silver and everyone else associated with coming to a decision has to do. And so I think I look at Orlando And I say, okay, if Disney, they've identified that location as a place where people can stay in rooms and be in a bubble, then that's what they need to do. I do disagree with potentially people being able to leave the bubble. Mm-hmm. That is something I'm not in favor of. I think you've got to minimize the risk as much as possible. And so if you are going to have the players in that area, then I think they've got to be confined to that area and confined to themselves, because you don't want to risk an outbreak. Because if someone tests positive, you don't want to then realize that, oh no, they've also been out in public around other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, like you said, there's never going to be a zero risk situation here, especially when people have to travel to get to these locations and are presumably going to come into contact with other people along the way. And I'm with you. Like, if they can find a way to, you know, make it so the logistics of it aren't, you know, overly nightmarish, and they can, you know, find a way to make it as safe as possible, then great. I find it hard to believe they're going to find the logistics any kind of easy. I mean, there's going to be the matter of, our family's going to get to go. We've already heard Giannis talk about, like, he's not going anywhere if his family can't go. He's a newborn dad.
Right.
And I think, you know, that is an entire other thing you have to consider, right? Is, okay, we have 400 something NBA players, even if we're cutting it down to 16 teams, which I think they absolutely should, because there is no need to be bringing a bunch of these teams that are not in it. And I, like, look, we'll get into this in a second, and some of it is TV related and everything, but can we stop pretending there are actually playoff races right now? Because there aren't really. The Eastern Conference, the closest team to the Magic is the Wizards. They're like 5.5 games out. That's done. The Western Conference, there's three teams that are 3.5 games out with like 14 games to play or whatever is left on the schedule. That's not like super easy to come over if you're the Portland Trailblazers or the Pelicans or the Spurs or whoever they're either. And so I don't buy that, like, this is, you have to bring everybody back to have like a good end of the season. Dame Lillard just came out actually and said that he's not going to show up if they don't have those teams that aren't in the playoffs. And look, I don't care. Like, that's good. That's fewer people to come into this bubble potentially with their families in addition. But, you know, if you have 400 players, cut that in at about half, you still have a bunch of family coming. You're going to have, you know, near 1,000 people probably that you have to have in this bubble when you factor in media people and team officials. It's just a lot of people. And that is not to say anything about the people who are almost certainly going to be forced to work. And look, people got to work. People have been laid off. If you're in the hospitality industry and you work at one of the Disney hotels, you're probably happy you get to go make a paycheck and, you know, clean the rooms of NBA players. But at the same time, if it was like a functioning country, they'd be paying those people to stay home anyway, and they wouldn't be forced to come to work. And so I think those people need to be considered as much, if not more, than the people who were going to actually be playing the games, because the people playing the games have access to healthcare and they are not worried about necessarily getting sick. It's the people who are on the sort of fringes of society and the lower classes who are going to be forced to work at this thing too. And that is something to consider. And so the logistics are just so complex for me. And I wrote about this last week for Raptors HQ. Even if they can make it work and it is safe and those other workers are protected and everything like that, and they're not hogging up precious, you know, virus fighting resources and tests, and they're able to do it in a sort of moral way, the product you're going to have is still going to be like a shadow product. You're going to have no fans. You're going to have very little production value outside of, you know, whatever ESPN or TNT is putting on. You're not going to have any of the pomp and circumstance, lack of crowd noise, all that stuff. It just feels like the return on the insane investment in making this thing happen is going to be kind of a product that, after a couple games of novelty of, oh, hey, that was cool with no fans, we got to hear the coaches say what they were saying out loud, it's going to kind of just feel hollow to me. I don't know. Are you worried about that? Like, the experience of the game just not matching up even close to what, you know, the playoffs should be? And is that going to ruin it for you at all?
I have thought about it, and it won't be the same, but I think maybe it's because I've been watching the last couple of weeks of Bundesliga that I feel a bit more swayed in favor of it, where even if it's not the same, I'd still rather watch it than nothing. And you know, I'm definitely adamant that you can't have the first game that they play be game one of the playoffs. There's mm-hmm. got to be some sort of preseason, but pre-playoff games, just to get themselves into a rhythm, because it sounds like there's not going to be any regular season games to do that. So You've definitely got to have, you know, some scrimmages with the other teams, or some pre-playoff games where honestly that can even serve as a test period where you can have these games and just figure out, okay, is everything going according to plan? Are we still good to go through with the playoffs and everything like that? Yeah, I think watching the Bundesliga and seeing it run smoothly for the last couple of weeks has definitely made me a believer that, you know, there is a space in which this can exist, and it's not problematic to society. And, you know, I think part of what needs to be factored in is the tests available now compared to the tests that will be available a month from now, 2 months from now, when the league is proposing to resume. I think that's going to be vastly different. And so you're not going to look at that and say, okay, they're really taking, unless the numbers go back up, right? If the numbers spike back up, then you've got an issue. But if the numbers continue to trend in the right direction, then I think everything is sort of lining up for them to at least, you know, continue to target a resumption in, say, early August.
Yeah. And look, I mean, I can hand wring all I want, and, you know, I don't want to sound too much like a guillotine man, but like the people who are putting this on, the billionaires and the owners in the league, and even like the rich players, like they're going to get their way, I'm sure. And so we're going to get basketball, and, you know, I'm sure they will do their best to mitigate, you know, any immorality that might be at play, but I'm not expecting a return in a bubble without some level of grossness to it or ickiness. But assuming we are going to get basketball back, there are a few different proposals that have been thrown out there to properly, or I guess sort of do the best they can to play out the season in a way that doesn't sort of ruin the integrity of the championship and stuff like that. We're going to get into a couple of those, including the 1-16 bracket, as well as the group stage idea that was dropped today by Kevin O'Connor. But first, I want to tell people about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar, quite literally ever. They are tasty as hell. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. 16 amazing flavors with a bunch more new ones, including blueberry lemon, which I got to get my hands on because that sounds fantastic and right up my alley. You've got 8 chocolate nut flavors, 8 chocolate nut free flavors as well for those who have peanut allergies or any nut allergies, and bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. Built bars are great for the health conscious person. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. For example, the peanut butter brownie flavor, which is awesome, has 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of net carbs. While the mint brownie, also awesome, 15 grams of protein, just 110 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. And on the whole, Built Bars have 7 times less sugar than Clif Bars, and they don't have that gritty, disgusting taste and mouthfeel either. Mouthfeel, that's a fun word. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get $10 off your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at your first order at BuiltBar.com. All right, Big V, let's get into this 1-16 thing. This came out yesterday. Brian Windhorst was on, I believe, SportsCenter, just sort of talking things. This, look, I like Brian Windhorst. He does a really good job. He's plugged in. Sometimes he'll just say things that sound like reporting, but they're mostly just like him, you know, churning things up a little bit with some scuttlebutt. This kind of felt more along the lines of that. It didn't seem like it was, you know, reported out of a whole lot of deep knowledge. It was just sort of tossed out there as maybe something he heard in passing. But anyway, he suggested that if the NBA is able to return in a bubble, they are thinking about potentially seeding the playoff teams 1-16, abolishing conferences just for this year, and playing the bracket out that way. I have some opinions on this. What do you think of 1-16? People probably know from my various rantings on this podcast, I don't care about conference imbalance. I think conferences are fine to good. I like rivalries. I have no problem with, you know, I'm sorry that your 9th place team in one conference didn't get in place of the 8th team in another. Whatever. Who cares? But I don't know. Maybe you have stronger feelings on this in terms of your desire to get rid of conferences, and thus maybe that informs your opinion on the 1-16 bracket. Big V, how do you feel about this?
I like it for these playoffs just because there's no travel involved. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been the biggest deterrent to the regular playoff setting. And so I definitely understand, you know, the regular concerns that The Board of Governors and everyone involved has over having that level of travel throughout the postseason, and the fatigue that that could add to the players, you know, when the playoffs are so intense as it is. So I think in this setting, I would like to see it, especially now you're so open to trying new things and experimenting that I would like to at least see it, this 1-16 seeding. But I would say that I'm sure they have different risk projections for different numbers of teams that can be in the bubble. And mm-hmm. So if there isn't much of a difference between having 16 teams versus 20 teams, I don't like the group stage idea, but I would like a play-in tournament, because if you are seeding 1-16, then, you know, then you've got to look at Portland and you've got to look at, you know, the Pelicans and whatnot. And they're only a game behind Orlando or Brooklyn or whatever it may be. And so I don't think they deserve to be eliminated on those grounds if you are seeding 1-16. So I would like to see a play-in tournament. I tweeted this just yesterday. So, you know, if you had those six teams, the Nets, the Magic, the Blazers, Pelicans, Kings, and Spurs, you could sort of give the Nets and Magic that initial bye and have mm-hmm. the other four teams play each other and then play the Nets and the Magic to figure out who 15 and 16 should be. That's what I would do, and then go ahead with the playoffs. But I'm definitely in with seeing what a 1-16 could look like.
So I have a few issues with it. First of all, the number one thing is this feels like a very not very subtle ploy to try to get an LA versus LA final, which, fine, you know, they have TV interests to be worried about. Fine. If you want to do it that way to try to get Clippers Lakers in a finals, go nuts. Just at least tell us. Don't like act as though it's some innovative idea. Just tell us we want an LA final to be potential, because that would be cool. I also think, like,
I don't know if it's just that though. Like,
well, I don't think it's like the only reason.
But it just, I mean, yeah. It's this isn't like Adam Silver has been pining for this for a few years now. So mm-hmm. I think now he just has the most leeway to do it. And, you know, we've seen in finals past, whether it be 2017 or 2018, should the finals have been Cleveland versus Golden State? No, it should have been Houston versus Golden State. And, you know, that series would have received the narrative it did deserve. You know, it ended up being just played off as a Western Conference Finals and Houston didn't get it done. But, you know, how different is James Harden's narrative if he has taken his team to two finals?
Yeah, I kind of, like, you play within the conference you're in, and, like, that's just, maybe that's, like, old thinking. I just think it's, like, I'm sorry that, like, if you're the Blazers or the Pelicans or the Kings, I'm sorry you couldn't win more games than the Orlando Magic during the season. But, like, I don't know. I don't really have a lot of sympathy for you. This is kind of what's going on in the NHL, too, where the NHL is going to this 24-team format, where it's like, oh, all these teams had a chance to make it. And it's like, yeah, but they weren't even, like, there's some of these teams weren't even close. Like, why are we, like, I know it's like a strange and unusual circumstance, so maybe you give some leeway, but it's just like, in a strange and unusual circumstance, I'm sorry for the teams that were just out, but, like, you're shit out of luck. It's not like you were going to do anything anyway. You're playing for the right to get waxed by the Lakers in round one anyway. So that's kind of my thing with, like, the conference imbalance. And also the thing to keep in mind here is the imbalanced schedule. I mean, like, yeah, maybe you could say the Nets and Magic probably should have racked up more wins against the dregs of the Eastern Conference. But, like, the schedules are certainly imbalanced. No one finished out their seasons. There's various strength of schedules and things like that that weren't completed. And if you're just throwing those four Western teams in to try to take one of the Nets or Magic spots, who, by the way, I'm not married to the Nets or Magic being in the playoffs either. Like, take it down to eight teams. I don't care. Like, those teams are unimportant to the conversation this season. But it does feel a little bit unfair that, you know, they're playing within the context of their schedule and their conference, and now all of a sudden these four Western teams that, again, have less that wins than the Orlando Magic are all of a sudden in the conversation to make it in. And it also kind of sucks for the Grizzlies too, if there's any sort of, you know, challenging of their spot in this, because they are, you know, 3.5 games up. That's a pretty big margin this late in the season. Like, they deserve to be there over the Blazers. I'm sorry, the Blazers were awful for a terribly long time. Yeah, they had injury luck and all this stuff, but, like, I don't know, be better at basketball. Stop sucking. It's like, don't like it, pitch better is kind of my maybe, you know, too simple reading of it all. And I just, when it comes to the 1-16, it kind of feels like one of the, and a lot of the things going on right now with the league and their plans is a lot of, you know, it's the Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park thing where it's, you know, you spend all this time thinking about whether you could and didn't stop to think whether you should. Like, yes, in theory, they can go 1-16 and maybe that makes it a more balanced bracket or whatever, even though both the East and West have at least six pretty good teams. But you, I think if you like actually look at the matchups that it creates, I would take maybe one of them over the current setup we would have. Like, well, let's run through these, Vec. So the number one, the Bucks and Magic would be the same. So that's fine. The 2-15 would be Lakers Nets. If you're taking the Lakers first round matchup against the Grizzlies, which in theory would it would be, like, that's no doubt a better matchup than Lakers Nets, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Then you have Raptors Grizzlies, which is the one I could argue that is actually better than Raptors Nets, like than the original one. That one would be cool. It'd be fun to watch the Raptors and John Morant, but we should probably keep in mind we're Raptors people. And I think I saw a lot of Raptors people fawning over the idea yesterday without really paying attention to the other matchups. You've got Clippers Mavericks, which would happen anyway. You've got the Celtics and Sixers, which would happen anyway. Nuggets Pacers is like one of the least sexy matchups I could ever possibly conceive. When you're robbing yourself of Nuggets Rockets, which sounds like it would kick a lot of ass, no?
Yeah, but I mean, I think the purpose of the 1-16 is more about finishing with the two best teams as opposed to how it starts off.
Yes.
And so I look at, again, I look at if you can get the two best teams in the finals and have a true finals, I think that would serve the purpose of the 1-16. And so I think when you've got, I mean, yeah, sure, the narrative of the Cavs and Warriors and LeBron going up against that all-time team is cool. But realistically, the Rockets were just better against them, you know, save for 2016 and save for Draymond kicking LeBron in the nuts. I'm in favor of the two best teams getting to the finals. I think it's a truer reflection of who's been the best. And I'm not as much concerned about what it looks like in the first round. I do think, you know, again, you look at OKC versus Miami. I think that's a really fun matchup. I look at, okay, sure. We can say Boston versus Philly would have happened for sure. But, hey, maybe Philly really is a first round team. And so they deserve to be going out in the first round. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like, I just like the things you're changing here, the thing, like the other series you're getting, I don't think are like notably better or in some cases are like actively worse than the ones you would be getting. Like Nuggets Rockets would be such a kick-ass series. And you're just like taking that away. So the Nuggets and Pacers can play a pretty boring series that the Nuggets would win, I think, pretty handily. Whereas like a Heat Pacers series, which is what we would get, sounds pretty fun to me. I don't know. I think it's interesting, and I understand the logic that the Rockets argument is good. I jive with that. But at the same time, what is the problem you're trying to address this season? The Bucks are clearly the best team in the league right now. The Lakers and Clippers, in some order, are probably number 2 and 3, and the Raptors are probably number 4. Like you're not fixing the problem. Like you have the four best teams are evenly split between the two conferences right now. And yeah, maybe you get a Lakers-Clippers conference finals, but you know, if you line it up the other way and you're hoping for a Lakers-Clippers finals, there's a chance you don't get that at all. Because look, there's some really damn good teams out there. The Bucks could easily beat the Clippers. We could see the Celtics beat the Clippers. Even like you're making it even more unlikely that you actually get that eventual matchup. And I'm also just looking at the bracket side of things too, and I just don't love the way it brackets out. Whereas in the East, you get that animus. You get a Raptors Bucks series potentially in a conference finals, the rematch. You get the Raptors Celtics series we've wanted for how long and are just about to get it maybe, and then they go and do this. It just feels like you're fixing a problem that in this particular situation is not really there. There's no team that's missing out because the two top eight teams in each conference are in. Like those are both the top eight teams in each, like those are the top 16 teams in the league. You're not like screwing a couple very good 45 win Western Conference teams this season. So like in past years, I would get it. It just doesn't make sense with the way the bracket is for this one-off thing. If you're not going to make it a full-time change, which they can't because of logistics and travel and all that, I don't see why this would be the year where it makes sense, because I would argue that the bracket and the way the conferences shake out this season, it makes less sense this year than it maybe ever has in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, but I think we're just looking at it differently, where I'm looking at it from the perspective that this is something Adam Silver has wanted ever since he's become commissioner, to just have the best 1-16 teams. And every year the pushback has been, no, the travel is too much of an issue. The travel is too much of an issue. And now it's a situation where he's looking at everyone and saying, hey, you guys said travel has always been an issue. Travel is not an issue. So we can try it this year. So why don't we just try it? And so I don't think it's as much about the teams. And like, yeah, there is certainly appeal in having the Clippers and Lakers meet in the NBA Finals. I will not deny that. But again, if Giannis and the Bucks are truly the best team, they will make it to the finals. If the Clippers are truly the best team, they will make it to the finals. If the Lakers are truly the best team, they will make it to the finals. And so I think ultimately, over the long term, if you're looking to set up the two best teams in the NBA, I do think 1-16 is the better way to do it.
Yeah, man, I'm liking this. Staunch disagreement. This never happens between us. I'm digging it big time. We can leave it there. Otherwise, we'll probably just go in circles again. But we can move on now to, look, I made point that the LA thing is a very TV-driven thing, I think, in the minds of the 1-16ers. But the next idea, to me, is the most blatantly TV-driven thing that's been proposed yet. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, I want to tell people about Blinkist, which is one of the ultimate life hacks. It's hard to sit down and find the time to read and learn more, especially right now when, yes, you're at home, but you've got your kids to deal with, you're homeschooling, you're cooking, you're doing Zoom calls all over the place. Your family, who you haven't talked to in 6 months, wants to Zoom call every week. It's tough. There's an incredible app, though, that solves that problem of not having enough time. I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser, whatever device you want to use it on. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people are well-known for how many books they read. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that info right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise. 12 million people are currently using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from the bestsellers list, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read but you never had time to. There are so many nonfiction books with so much information. Maybe you prefer reading fiction, but you want to get that important info from nonfiction books as well. Blinkist is great because it allows you to do that in just 15 minutes via audiobook or reading it. You can get all those key points you want and save time for the fiction titles you really, really want to dive into. For example, among the books they have, you have Upheaval, Turning Points for Nations in Crisis by Jared Diamond. You've got The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss as well. Meanwhile, on the sports side of things, you've got Tiger Woods by Jeff Benedict and How Champions Think in Sports and Life by Dr. Bob Rotella and Bob Cullen. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want for just one low price. And right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try it for free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. All right, Big V, let's dive into the made-for-TV event of the summer, a 20-team group stage for the NBA playoffs first round to decide the final 8 teams. Yeah. Again, spent all this time thinking about whether you could and not whether you should. Do you so basically what Kevin O'Connor laid out is they would basically take the top 20 teams to include those 4 Western Conference teams that are just on the outside of that playoff race, although not actually that close, and put them into 5 groups of 4, I believe is what it was, or is it 4 groups of 5? Either way, I think it's 4 groups of 5. You take 5 yeah. tiers, you know, the top 4 teams is tier 1 and so on down, and you divide them up the way you would World Cup groups, essentially, and have those teams play each other twice each for a total of 8 games in the group stage, and then the top 2 from each of those groups move on to the, I guess, nominal second round of the playoffs, the conference semifinals or whatever it is, the quarterfinals overall, if we're not doing conferences. I could see the appeal of this. I love the World Cup. I love a group stage tournament. It's great. It's not done nearly enough in content as bracket tournaments are. There should be more content in the form of group stage tournaments, but I'm not really feeling this one, Vivek. I'll let you offer your thoughts on it first, though.
No, I don't like this either. I don't like the idea of everyone playing each other twice. I mean, I don't know. It's like you're setting up a mini sort of divisional battle before the playoffs. And so I'm not really in favor of that. If you're going to have something sort of pre the playoffs, then I would be much more in favor of a play-in tournament where it's just sort of single elimination and you create that excitement. I think that has more of a buzz to it and more sort of commercial appeal than everyone playing each other twice. And just FYI to Kevin O'Connor, if you're going to have everyone play each other twice in the group stage, that's the Champions League, not the World Cup.
Owned him.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't seem like much of a soccer fan, so I'm sort of shitting on Bundesliga's idea of playing fan audio the other day during the games.
That was cool. That made it feel so much more like home. I'm down for that.
Yep. Yeah. Mm. But yeah, I wouldn't expect a non-soccer fan to get it when you're hearing all these awesome team and player chants. Anyway, back to the group stage. I just think it drags it out. And again, I think you're creating more of a window for the risks to transpire. And that's why if you're going to have a play-in tournament, you have single elimination. And so teams can sort of get in, do their, you know, training camp, get ready. I understand that, you know, okay, it might suck for a couple of teams to have to just play one game. But at the same time, I think if you gave them the option of saying, hey, here's one game to get in the playoffs or two or three games that you got to win to get into the playoffs, I think they would take it over not having the chance at all. Now, maybe Brooklyn and Orlando would vote against that, saying that, hey, we have a playoff spot already, so why would we vote in something in favor of something that could take that away? I could see that case as well. But, yeah, this group stage idea, frankly, if they did make it more of a World Cup format where everyone just played each other once, I think that would at least be better, because then I think you still, you know, one of the things with the World Cup is when everyone's playing each other once in the group stage, it adds that drama to each game because mm-hmm. you know how valuable, you know, whether you pick up a point or 3 points, you know how valuable that is. So I think by playing each other twice, I think that just drags it out way too long.
Yeah, look, there's a few things I understand about the idea. Like, I think the 8 games gives you a bit of a chance to, like, kind of get people back up and running, which I think is important before you get to, like, actual nominal quote-unquote playoff games. So that's right. Good. But it also opens you up to a whole lot of weirdness because, like, if you want – like, this is the opposite argument of the 1 through 16 where it's just we want the best teams with the best chance to make it all the way. If you're doing this, I mean, mm-hmm. one weird loss for a team in this 8-game group stage can totally screw up the bracketing, right? Like, if you right. end up with, like, the Lakers coming second in their group, who's to say they don't end up playing the Clippers in the second round of the playoffs? And then you're totally screwed for, you know, getting that matchup as late in the playoffs as you want. You're inviting weirdness, especially when it's going to be an inherently weird product anyway, where there's going to be, you know, rust and there's going to be, you know, adjusting to the lack of fans and the whole new sort of setup they'll be in, like it's going to invite some chaos. And look, chaos is cool. If you're a fan of chaos, great. But if you're trying to not like actually award a real champion, this is by far the worst way I've heard to come up with that, because you're inviting just bracket fuckery with one weird loss for a team. Or hey, who's to say that like the Raptors or something like that, or the Bucks or the Clippers or Lakers, like these groups will be full of very good teams. Who's to say that a couple losses doesn't sewer them? And then you end up with a playoffs where, you know, some of your number one seeds are gone. And that I think would not really be like, if I think Kane Pittman, the host of Locked On Bucks, made this point as well. Like if you're trying to eliminate any desire to say there's an asterisk on this season, which like, I understand that. And I think the fact that all these teams will be playing through the exact same challenges and going through the same sort of gauntlet will sort of eliminate the asterisk to some degree. But if you're going to do a gimmicky tournament like this, and look, you're going to find no one who likes gimmicky tournaments more than me. Like, I'm so pro midseason tournament. And if they want to do this format in the season, fuck yeah. Like, give me that. But I don't think it's a way to nominate the actual champion, and it's going to just completely screw up everything. And also, it doesn't feel like the playoffs. If you're trying to make it feel like the playoffs, just play the freaking playoffs. The play-in tournament, I understand that you mentioned, like, you want the Blazers and Pelicans and Kings to fight for the spots that the Magic and the Nets have. You're not going to really hear an argument from me, because who cares about the Magic and Nets? But the Magic and Nets will care, and I'm sure some other Eastern Conference teams will care, because I'm sure some Eastern Conference teams would rather play, you know, the Nets or the injured Nets or the Magic than Zion's Pelicans or the Trailblazers or something like that. So it's going to be tough to get, I think, a lot of buy-in. But there's so many things that are wrong with it. In theory, it's cool and fun, and tournaments, again, like, do it in the middle of the season. And if this is a test case for that and it leads to more tournaments, then maybe I can make my peace with it. But it just really feels like a really, really bad way and misguided way to actually, like, select a real earnest champion that people will recognize as, oh yeah, that's the champion for this season, no asterisk whatsoever.
Yeah, I hear that. And I think that's perfectly fair. I think the one thing I was thinking about in terms of how would there be an asterisk on this season, and how much do you weigh, okay, in 99 when the lockout was there, you know, teams still had that 50-game runway before the playoffs. And then the playoffs ran as usual, right? Like, you had your best of five and then the best of sevens the rest of the way. But if you start to alter that in the playoffs, like, sure, 1 to 16, you change the seeding. You're still playing best of seven, best of seven, best of seven. Mm-hmm. So I think in that regard, you know, I don't see how you would put an asterisk on that. But if you, you know, start these group stages and whatnot, then I think it does change things, especially if it's just a one-time change. Then, you know, I do see a case for an asterisk coming in. So, yeah, I'm not really in favor of this group stage thing. And then I look at, again, Brian Windhorst wording the fact that the board of governors, it sounds like there's still some way from approving even the 1 to 16 seating. I wouldn't be surprised if after all this smoke, they just made an announcement that, you know, it was just going to be the regular 1 to 8 from the West, 1 to 8 from the East. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the 16 teams, minimize the number of teams that need to be in the bubble. And all of this is, you know, just here for the content right now.
Hey, man, we desperately need the content. And look, I think there's some disagreement about, and we've had it in this podcast, about the format, about whether they should even actually be coming back. And none of this is even considered the fact of, you know, what happens in the group stage if, you know, Giannis gets sick. Like, and how do you...
Yeah, I mean, at any stage,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. If at any point someone
gets imagine...
sick, what is it like? How does that even... Like, yes, it's injury, but it's like injury you're asking for almost.
Yeah, well, I mean, just imagine if the Lakers go all the way to the finals and they're about to meet the Clippers, and then, you know, heaven forbid, that LeBron tests positive. Mm-hmm. Then yeah. What do you do? Are you going to – is everyone – do you just stop the playoffs right there and say, okay, we're going to quarantine for 2 weeks and then come back and play the finals? Mm-hmm. Or do the Lakers now have to play without LeBron? So, yeah, that concern – is going to run right from day one of training camp of when these teams report. And so I think, yeah, it's just the longer you extend this, the more you open the window for different things to happen. So again, even with my preference for a play-in tournament, I totally get if the science says, hey, 16 teams versus 20 teams, that is just a completely different sort of risk projection and it's not worth it. And so, okay, that's fine. You just go ahead with the 16 then. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And hey, like, again, there's been some disagreement here, but I think overall NBA fans should be happy that the people running their league are not the NHL. and the people running that league, because that league is a rudderless mess and all of their ideas are insanely bad and they keep going forward with all their insanely bad ideas. So glad the NBA at least is throwing some things around, and it, again, probably more likely than not will settle on something resembling a regular playoffs. Whether they get some regular season games in for TV reasons, I'm not sure. And that, you know, that's a big consideration too. But you know, if people like Lillard are going to come out and say, I'm not playing if I can't make the playoffs, then that might make that difficult. But we'll continue to talk about this. I'm kind of almost nostalgic out in terms of like looking back on old Raptors stuff. I'll probably do a dramatic reading of the finals in the book, We the Champs, very soon. But other than that, we're going to, I think, probably gear up and talk about this stuff quite a bit in the coming days and weeks. So get ready for that. Vivek, thanks so much for coming on, man. It was great to disagree with you for once in our lives. It was wonderful. What do you have to plug?
Oh, man. What do I have to plug? I interviewed Penny Oleksiak, so look forward to that story on Complex soon. Just trying to keep busy with Complex and put out as many stories as I can. So just look out for my content on there. You can follow me on Twitter at Vivek M. Jacob. I do have one question for you before you go.
Yeah, what's up?
This is maybe one thing that we didn't address. Which format do you think suits the Raptors better? The 1-16 or just the regular?
I think the 1-16 bracket's probably a little easier, minus the LeBron and the conference finals thing, which we know doesn't go terribly well most of the time. I think both are, you know, I'm so like the Raptors are one of the teams I'm most intrigued by because they're like kind of old, but also were terribly injured, and I'm not sure how they're going to ramp back up and get up to full speed and how long that'll take. But you would think that their like chemistry and all that would be able to translate. And I also think Nick Nurse, in this compressed sort of weird situation, is going to come up with some stuff. And, you know, giving him 3 months to just like come up with ways to destroy Giannis sounds pretty cool to me, and probably pretty terrifying if you're Milwaukee. And so like, I think coaching will really matter quite a bit. And so it doesn't really matter to me the setup. I think they're going to be, you know, one of the favorites to go to a conference finals either way. It's just it's slightly different. Instead of playing Giannis in the conference finals, it's playing LeBron, and that's difficult both ways. I think their second round series would be comparable between Denver and Boston if those were the two sort of potential ways they could go. Their first round series, like, they'll beat both the Grizzlies and Nets. I would rather watch the Grizzlies than the heinous Nets, but yeah, I think they'd be fine in either situation. What about you?
I actually think the regular format suits them just a little bit better. I do think I'd rather face the Bucks than the Lakers, if I'm being perfectly honest with you, in the conference finals. But I will say the prospect of facing the Nuggets without their home court advantage and without the altitude, I think that is a matchup that favors the Raptors pretty heavily. I mean, we don't know how anyone's going to respond to these situations playing, you know, without any fans or anything like that. But I do think that does take, you know, in terms of the teams that would most hurt, I think it would hurt a Denver who wouldn't be able to play at home. I think it would hurt a Philadelphia who wouldn't be able to play at home, because clearly they're a different team when they can get that crowd to rile them up for good or bad.
Yeah. We'll dive more into the matchups and stuff like that as things crystallize too, because that's going to be fascinating stuff. Vivek, go read his stuff at Vivek M. Jacob, the Penny Oleksiak thing. Can't wait to read that. You can find me at Woodley Sean. Subscribe to, rate, review, all that good stuff wherever you get your podcast. It's much appreciated when you take the time. Also go to Basketball on patreon.com/basketball with two H's. It's $4 to subscribe. And once we get to a 30 patron threshold, we're going to start doing bonus episodes over there. So please consider chipping us a few shekels over there. And that's about it. Go read the thing I wrote last week for Raptors HQ about how I think it's all a very doomed and bad idea, and I want mascots, and if we're not going to get them, damn it, I don't want basketball. And you know, other various me related stuff over there on HQ as we move on here in the next little while. That's going to do it. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will talk to you again on Wednesday or Thursday, probably at some point, with another episode of Locked On Raptors.